Alright, if you would turn over to Luke chapter 12, and we're going to talk about two things this morning, while we wait on Wesley to come. I want to talk about that moment where Jesus talked of the parable of the rich fool.
Okay.
So, Luke chapter 12, and we'll be starting around verse 13. And if somebody wouldn't mind reading verses 13 through 21, that will cover that parable.
Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store the crops."
And he said, "I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'"
So what's going on here? We got at the very beginning, somebody asking Jesus to be the judge between possessions, and somebody thinks they deserve certain possessions. Jesus told him, "Be careful." And he tells the parable of the rich fool. But if you take a deeper look at what's going on with this, we might be finding ourselves in the same position in the same boat. Because what farmers did back then, they built barns to get them through the difficult times. They put away grain, they put away food to make sure that they had plenty when there were seasons that would not have plenty. So what was he doing wrong here?
He could have distributed the extras among the poor people. But he was greedy, he wanted to hold on to all of it for himself.
Yeah, he saw the opportunity to say, "I can be just doing just fine for a long period of time."
Well, he had farms with obvious storage already, and he's going to tear them down and build bigger ones.
Which was a cost.
He probably already had plenty of his farms, but he needed more room.
And that's the point that the Lord is trying to put across for us. A lot of times that we worry about things. We worry about tomorrow. We worry about down the road. So sometimes we hold back ourselves when we say, "Well, now I got a little extra money here. I'll put it aside and because I'm going to try to take care of tomorrow." Which is a natural thing to do. But the concept that we, as Christians, should be like totally opposite from the world.
I think the lesson to learn in there, too, is that, we have a tendency of want to take care of ourselves instead of relying on God to take care of us. I don't want to say it's ingrained in us human beings, because I don't think that's the way God intended for us to be, but we think we can create our own security. Because when you go on in this chapter, it's where God said, You don't know if you're going to live long enough to enjoy what you put aside. You know, God may say, I'm going to come and get you today. And who's going to get everything that you put aside?
Right.
And what usually happens is that the ones that are left over, they're going to find out for what you left behind. So, it's the lesson to learn is to rely on God instead of relying on your own wisdom. Because God is so much more wise than we are.
When you go back around to the very beginning of this verse, when his life was taken over of him, mm-hmm. what happened to all his possessions? His family probably started fighting over it.
Yeah.
Where he started in this this original conversation, tells of giving my share of the inheritance. Mm-hmm. And so all that's going to be happening, all the work that he did, and tear down the barns and build bigger ones to put all this stuff, just became a fight between his family.
Yeah. Well, Jesus basically said in the beginning, you know, be careful for what you're asking for, because you may get it, but you're not going to enjoy it.
Right.
Because you're not going to be here for it.
Well, the question I would have to ask is, where was his focus? Which you already said.
Yeah.
Is on this earth. We're so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. We're so worried about if we're going to have everything we need. We're so worried about tomorrow that it's not even here yet, that we're not even guaranteed to get. We're not even guaranteed to go home today.
Yeah.
But we're preparing for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Who's all in control of that?
Nice.
So what, kid? Go ahead.
So, you know who put that in our heart, right? To store up on earth. You know, we know that Satan is telling us, well, you don't have to put that right there in church. You're going to need that for a later date. That's, you know, that's the kind of main mind frame Satan wants us to be in. Whether people want to recognize Satan or not, he's real too.
Mm-hmm.
And he's working too. And that's what causes us to do a lot of the things, or all of the things that's not compatible to what God wants us to do and be. Who is it coming from? You know, who is all of this? You know, we have free will. But we have free will. Our free will should go right back to God, asking Him to help me with this.
Yep.
That free will should go right back to Him.
Yep.
Lord, help me make this decision. You know, Lord, do I really need this to put that money over there? I probably ain't gonna get what I want anyway. And I constantly keep saving, but I got to constantly keep pinching on it for something else for today, right? You put up money for something on the side, but you're going to have to go into that money for something today.
Well, but that's what it's there for.
Huh?
That's what it's there for.
Yeah. So just, you know.
I mean, so it's not bad to save.
It's not bad to save.
But
no, it's not.
I mean, it's there when you need it.
Yeah, it all depends on where your frame of mind, what you're saving it for.
For?
Yeah.
Because with all the scripture,
yeah.
He's talking here, there's two philosophies that we need to really look at. Is where was he calling home?
Mm-hmm.
Everything was preparing for himself to stay here on earth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So he's putting this, storing up for the stuff on his barn so he can live and rejoice and be merry here on earth. So that's where his focus was, one of his focus was. I have nothing to worry about. I have my days. I'm good. So he's comfortable in living where he's at now. Now, if he had a different mentality, it's just like you were talking about earlier, where he didn't worry about that, he says, I don't need to worry about tomorrow because my goal is what's going to happen after tomorrow. And being prepared for that.
Or if he had so much, like Lynette was saying, you know, he probably had, because they say, you know, he had, you know, this, that, and the other. Or when you had so much that you couldn't fit it there, his mindset, or like us on earth, should be, well, let me get this to this such and so over here because I don't need it. Just let me go ahead and give it to, you know, this person right here. But we going to just, no, I'm going to keep this. I'm not going to get it. You know, I'm not going to get it away. I might need this. Right? That's what we say. Well, I might need this. And say, you have enough. You have enough.
Lynette hit it earlier.
Yeah.
He already had barns. He already
yeah, that's what
he's I'm already saying. Prepared. He already saved.
He already ready.
He's already ready.
Yeah.
But now that he had more abundance, he didn't think, there's nowhere in this scripture that he talked about, what about my neighbor?
Right.
What about my fellow brother and sister, who I know may not have a good year and good crops? Am I taking care of them? We get too worried about ourselves. We get focused on ourselves. And that's one of the main things out of there. He wasn't thinking about anything else about his, but his joy, him being married, him having plenty to eat, him having plenty to drink. There was no discussion in these verses here about anything else or anybody else. But Lynette brought up a very good point. He already had a barn. He was already saving. Now he has more abundance than what he had before. There's been times, I guarantee you, that that barn didn't have a whole lot in it. Because those are the cycles that went through. Mm-hmm. Especially when you depended everything on your crops. There were years they were wondering where they were getting their grain from. There was years of plenty and years of poverty. Mm-hmm. But he had full barns. He already had stuff put away. Now he had a really good year. Then what was his mentality? What was his way of thinking and thought? It was about, well, I'm just going to take care of myself even more. You may say something.
Well, I was just going to say, where were these blessings coming from? You know, the abundance that he had plus now more. Where was it coming from? It wasn't all because of him. It was because God blessed him with this. And the point is that whatever God blesses us with, we should share it with others. And to me, that applies to everything I have, to everything I can do. I should be able to share it with others. And he was hanging on to it himself. And I think we today have the same mentality in a lot of things. We want what the next door neighbor has, or we want the better looking cars, or and yet we already have a car, we already have what we need in the house, but yet we want more and more and more and better, instead of taking some of that extra that we have and put it back in God's storehouses. You know, and I think this is what's in this lesson.
It's the mentality mm-hmm. of the world seems to get more and more that way. There's in the volunteer service, there's less and less people volunteering. People's lives are more getting comfortable living their life here. People are busy doing stuff with sports and with other activities and other things, and there's only a few of us that are here on Sunday because that is no longer a priority. That is no longer their importance. What their comfort here on earth is their importance. Mm-hmm. This earth should be temporary. We should be aliens. We should be just passing through. We should be setting up a tent, not a home. And that's what the mentality is. And I think Satan tells us in a lot of ways, there's a lot of good people out there. But they get Satan tells them, well, you got to make sure you're able to take care of yourself tomorrow. You got to make sure this or that. They're not intending to keep away from stuff, but their focus is on today and what, making sure I have what I need for tomorrow, and not focusing on what we're truly here for, especially as Christians, because how much value is in what we're doing right now? It's preparing us for eternal life with Him. We'll talk about it a little bit more later, but one thing we need to realize, we're all going to live forever. we all are going to raise again. Every one of us. Every one of them out there. We need to understand that every one of us is going to face Christ Jesus. There's nobody escaping that. And so what side of the judgment do you want to be on? Mm-hmm. Are you preparing for that? Because that's what's going to last forever. But we have a tendency to worry about now or our life here on earth, not seeing what value is in this right here for encouraging one another and strengthening one another. We don't see that. We worry about things. I'll be honest with you. That's one of the biggest struggles I've had in my entire life, is worrying about down the road. Mm-hmm. Making sure my kids have what they need. I'm still doing that, and they're all raised. Nevada's at the college, and Christopher's married and has the 4 kids. Candace is off on her own, but I still worry about making sure they have what they need. And focusing on maybe I need to be worrying about what they truly need. I worry about their physical needs. I worry about Kim's physical needs. I worry about my physical needs. Not as much as theirs, because I don't think I need all the fancy stuff, but to make sure they have what they need. But we worry.
I was just going to say, you know, when God gave the commandments to love yourself, He didn't stop there. He also said, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mm-hmm. So, if I have, and I see my neighbor doing without, and I don't share that, how do I love my neighbor as I love myself? I don't get that. I'm always reminded of my mom. We didn't have nothing when we grew up. I mean, a lot of times by Thursday we were out of bread and everything. But if somebody would come, and back then, being post-World War II, there were a lot of people starving and would come and beg for food. Mom would give them what we had. And that's, to me, is loving your neighbor. Not only just giving out of your abundance, but giving for what you have, even for your own self. If you can share that with your neighbor because they're in need of it, that's loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah, the mentality back in the Great Depression and before, and even back when I was a young child, has changed. It was the phrase that we hear today so often, is it's a dog-eat-dog world out there. You gotta get it. Gotta get it while you can. All that stuff that the world sitting out there, that Satan drops these little things, the phrases sound good. It ain't a dog-eat-dog world. It's God's world. He created everything. He makes everything happen. And we're so worried about ourselves. And that's the mentality we need to realize. We can prepare all we want for tomorrow. We can put away all we want to put away, mm-hmm. but we're never guaranteed to see it. Like I tell Kim, because throughout the years, because Kim's got a huge heart. She will not let anybody go without. We have a little money she gives it to me to put away to make sure that she doesn't do it. It's just her mentality. She's not going to let anybody do without, a neighbor or a heart. She's just got one of those golden hearts, and it's one of the biggest things I love about her. But she'll give it till she ain't got it no more. And that's the way mentality that we should have. Because when she gets frustrated with herself, well, I did this today. Okay. A lot of times you feel like you gotta ask. Somebody was needed in something, then I did this. All right. We really don't have the money to do that. Oh, yeah, I'm not worried about it, because the Lord will provide. And out of the 29 years, almost 30 years that we've been married, we've never been without. And it's just now, and we'll talk about it later, just now I'm realizing that. I worried about stuff before because, all right, yeah, how are we going to get through? Stuff like that. But as time goes on, he's proven himself time and time again. He'll take care of whatever our needs are.
Thank you.
Someone give her and say something. But worrying is a human nature for us. Because it's funny how he goes from this parable of the rich fool who tears down his barns and builds bigger ones and dies, and then goes in verse 22 and talks about do not worry. Because he tells us in verse 22, then the disciples said, then Jesus said to the disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about what your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not worry, sow, or reap. They have not stored storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. How much more valuable are we compared to that? You think about the creatures that are on earth. They don't worry about what they're going to eat tomorrow. The animals of the earth, the flowers, and we'll read here in just a little bit later, how beautiful is some of God's creation. How beautiful is God's creation, and none of that's worried about anything.
You know, Brian, where's worry coming from? God keeps telling us, don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
But where's worry coming from? Comes from Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's put that in our mind. We got to worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. You got to take care of yourself. You don't know what's, you know. So, and God keeps saying, don't worry. I will take care of you. Don't worry about this. And we just talked about that Friday in our class, about worry and where it comes from. And we just discussed, what do we really on this earth have to worry about? What's the worst thing that could happen to us? You know, so God, in all my life, and I mean, there was times of destitute, there was times of plenty, there was time of in between. God has always taken care of me and my family. And so what's the worst that could happen to me? And then we talked about the shootings and stuff that's going on. So, okay, you're confronted with maybe getting your life taken away, but what life? This physical life? So what's there to worry about? I'm just going to be home. You know, maybe before I had even gotten what's ready for it or whatever, but they cannot take my eternal life. No matter what happens, they cannot take my eternal life.
Somebody don't mind reading 25 and verse 26.
And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these.
That's good. What does worrying do to us? Does it help us?
Anxious.
It
can make you sick too.
Anxious. It does make you sick.
Mm-hmm. It does.
It raises your heart rate up. It creates all kinds of stress.
Mm-hmm.
That your body's it's not good for you. So everything about worrying has no good effect on us. When we worry about bills, worry about little things, it your body will dump off some bad stuff to try to get you what they call your the fight or flight. When you get anxious, the long-term worry creates a lot of health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he's saying. What does it do? Does it add any stature to your life? Does it make you live longer in life? No, it actually shortens your life. So Satan wants you to worry. And what is the other thing that worrying does to you when it comes to your relationship with God?
Well, it removes the dependency of God. Mm-hmm. If I depend on God, I don't have nothing to worry about. But if I worry, first of all, I put the load on me instead of taking the load to God. I think if at that moment we separated from God, if it puts a space between us, because doesn't that also tell that worry is a sin?
But you're going hitting it all around, but it's making us ineffective.
Yes, yeah.
As a Christian.
Yeah. And I was gonna add, like Judah said, it takes us away. When people start worrying about what I have or what I don't have, the money aspect of it, then so what do? You probably go out and get another job. You might have been a Christian that came to service on Sunday, Wednesday. But because you're worried, not that you have a job that you have to work on these days. Because I had a job that I had to work Wednesdays and had one Sunday a month, and then they changed it to every other. But you have to work. It's not that you're taking yourself away if you work, work on that type of job. But I'm talking about the people that can be here on a Wednesday.
Exactly.
Can be here on a Sunday.
At 9:30.
Yeah. You getting on me because I be late. That's all right. But I'm here. But what do? They have worried that I don't have this. Oh, I got to have, I got to have this. This bill gonna come. Oh, I got this, So what do? You go out and probably get another job, or maybe you take up some more time on this job that's taking you away from those days that you're supposed to spend time with God at home, period. Mm-hmm. But Sundays, I know, were set aside, first day of the week, were set aside for us to come together. Wednesday, okay. I don't know where it's in the Bible about, midweek, Wednesday. But that's the Bible. We come in here, but I know for sure the first day of the week, you should not have come to the point where you have to make all this money. And it's taking you away from gathering, in the household of faith with your Christian family that can pray with you and just be there to give you some comfort. Sometimes we do need that extra comfort from another Christian. Or sometimes God will send you another person. It might not always be that Christian. It could be someone from the outside that maybe you can get in the inside. But he'll send you somebody. But if you come here, if you come to a household of faith, and if you're in a good household of faith, because all of them not good either, all of them don't have that support
right. That
you need. But you have taken it away because you got to get more. I don't have enough.
Speaking of Jesus, Matthew 10:28 is what I going in my head when she was talking about that. It says, "And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body."
Mm-hmm.
There again, we're talking about where is our home at?
Mm-hmm. Worrying also is just people who you have told you're a Christian,
mm-hmm. They
believe that God can't supply what you need for you and your work.
Exactly.
Right.
Well, that's what we're talking about, that ineffectiveness. That people see or hear you speak one thing, but see you react another way. How can you tell somebody, don't worry, God's got this, and you're over here worrying about all this other stuff? They're going, well, why aren't you taking your own advice? But worrying will also hold us back from being effective, doing God's work. Because don't we worry about how people react?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we worry and say, what if I try to tell them about God and tell them about Christ and they get offended?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You won't know until you do it. And so you won't know when that occurs until they do it, and then you know where they stand. But if they see you live a God, a life trusting, not worrying, maybe they're going to say, I want to be a part of that. Well, he comes to work every day and doesn't worry about anything.
Right. Or, because worry knows human nature to worry. But if that person that's not in the household of faith, and they see you worry, but they see you going to God, they see you praying about this, you know, because we're going to worry, because we don't, because that's the first thing we're going to do. We're not going to take it to God first. We got to get all upset first. And then you realize, oh, I don't have to be this way. But as long as that person sees who you go to when you get like that, they have to see that. They have to know that, okay. You know, she's not going to sit back and let it kill her. She has someone to go to.
Now, you bring up a very good point. Is our first reaction is going to be the word.
Mm-hmm.
It's how we handle it after that. Do we continue to worry and try to take it on ourselves, or do we carry it to God and try to turn it over there?
Right.
And that's what he's looking for us to do. He's looking for us to turn it over to him. Because there's nothing wrong with having a hard discussion with your Heavenly Father.
That's right.
You promise me I don't have nothing to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
This is the situation I'm in. I need you to help me with that. He wants that type of relationship. He wants one that you would have with like we would have in a close relationship. Telling you how you truly feel. So you bring up an excellent point about worrying. It has a purpose and a place. It's what you do with that. How long do you carry it on? Anger. There's times and a place for anger, to get mad. But what do you do with that anger, and how do you show that anger? Worry is the same way. Because what are we going to do with it when we're coming up to the end of the month and, oh my goodness, I don't even have enough money to pay the house payment. How am I going to get by with it? What do I do with it? Do I go in panic mode and I forget about everything else and forget who created me and who gave me everything that I have? Or do I turn to him and say, look, I need an answer?
Yeah.
And you still may be in poverty.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, look, with every sin that Satan puts in our lives, God creates mistakes for us, okay? And that includes worry, that includes stress, that includes whatever we go through. Sin inadvertently will enter in our life, and if you're Christian, even more so. Okay? But God will create an exit from that. And that is, go to Him. You know, we're tempted. When we're tempted, what should we do? We should go to God and pray about it. Lord, I'm tempted with this or that. I need your help for strength, self-discipline, whatever it takes to get out of this. And God will supply. But when we take it up on ourselves and don't take advantage of that exit, I think that's when sin becomes a reality.
When we try to rely more on ourselves than who created us in the first place, who has a manual on how we were created and can fix anything that breaks in our lives because he created everything, it's our understanding where we get our strength from. If somebody will continue on so we don't run out of time here, continue on with verse 28 to verse 34.
And that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. How much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also.
You know, I like the verse 32. He tells us, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you everything.
Mm-hmm.
So what's holding us back from receiving that? Because we don't put our treasure there. We don't put what we want there. We put our treasures here on earth. And what happens to the things here on earth? They get destroyed. They're all burned. You use the grass of the field will burn. Everything's going to burn up one day. It'll all disappear. And that was the whole point that he was telling for the rich fool was, you fool. You died tonight and you didn't gain anything from it.
I think we're human beings, we are our own greatest roadblock when it comes to how to interact with God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're, even as Christians, I think, we're too much focused on this life. When we should be focused on our eternal life. It's a battle on a daily basis to stay focused and to depend on God in all situations. But do we do that? At least for me, I catch myself often when I should have been to God in prayer instead of trying to handle the situation on my own. And it's not until it gets to the point where I realize I can't do it that I go to God about it.
The other thing that we need to realize along that same point, he told us right prior to that, he already knows what you need.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
He's just waiting for you to ask for it.
Yes.
He's just waiting for you to turn it over to him so he can fix it. Because we have that, what we call that free will. We can choose to give it to the Lord or we can choose not to give it to the Lord.
Exactly.
And there's consequences with some and there's gains with others. It's all on how we trust and have, oh ye of little faith.
No, Brian, you just said the word that it really comes down to. By our actions, who do we show we trust the most? Do we trust ourselves more or do we trust God more? And that's what it comes down to. I cannot trust in myself because I know I'm going to fail on a daily basis. I have no choice. And in a way, I'm glad I got God that I can trust him.
I don't know how to do
because,
that.
Exactly. I don't know how because there's no way that I could, through my own dealings, be acceptable to God. I have to trust in him. I have to trust in Christ and the power that his blood has provided to make me acceptable to God. There's no way.
You know, and so often, I look around, so often most of us in this world, I'll put it that way, and even in the church, I'll expand on the church. I'll even expand on the Church of Christ. Let's focus down on it. You look around, most of us are not relying on God. Most of us are relying on ourselves because we're worried about what's going to happen. We're worried about tomorrow. We're worried about COVID. We're worried about this. We're worried about that. And we're not focusing on the true treasure. We're not focusing on the one who created it all. The one person who can fix COVID. The one person who can fix your bills. The one person who can take care of any need that you have. He's just waiting for you to ask. You know, we've talked about it before in the last few weeks in some of my sermons. We have, each one of us have the ability to move a mountain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But But the problem is, we just don't have that faith yet. But we can. God gives us the power to move a mountain, a physical mountain. But we don't have the faith. We don't. I don't think we'll ever be there, because nobody on earth that I've seen yet, that human-wise, has been able to do it. But Jesus told me, you have the ability to move this mountain, or tell this tree to get up, uproot and move into the water. But we're just not there. We will when Judgment Day comes and we have heaven and everything falls into place and we get that full understanding. We will have that ability and be able to do it when that day comes. But we, if we trust enough, can do it.
You know, Jesus said that we could move mountains if we have faith. But what is our mountain?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
It can be a little mountain.
I think every one of us has ever gone through what we could call a mountain in our life and not know how we got through it. But as Christians should know that the only way we got through it is because by the grace of God. I've been through many of them. I've been on my knees to God, not knowing which way to turn. But you know what? Through prayer life, that stress that we carry when we go down to God in prayer, that stress will be relieved to me almost immediately, because I have left that and just rely on God to get me through this. People don't take advantage enough of prayer.
Nope.
They don't know the power of prayer.
Nope. Mm-hmm. And tapping into your power of your Father.
Brian, we all know that we pray about a lot of things and just about everything. But we tend to wait until we have a mitigating circumstance. And then suddenly, we got to remember, did I pray the first day? I need to be praying. And you pray through it. You pray time and time again. And you're not listening for the answer. You're just preparing your own self for the answer. You say you asked him. But in essence, he was waiting for just the right, and then I can go ahead on, you know, I got it. Not realizing it, I got it. It came from him. It didn't come from you.
That's right.
It came from him. You don't have it.
My mom always used to tell me, because this worryingness is something I've always struggled with, even as a kid. Mm-hmm. I struggled because I'm dyslexic. I struggled through school. Struggles I've had through life. My mom always had a simple mentality. That goes, because we connected more than my dad. So I go to her about everything. She go and pray about it. I said, yes, Mom, I pray about it. Did you really pray about it? And never understood what she was trying to get across, because I would tell her as a teenager and as a child, yes, Mom, I prayed about it. And don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I didn't catch on to what she was really saying until I was an adult. But she's right. If you really pray about it, then what do you really have to worry about?
Yes. The thing is, when you pray for a problem that you go through in life, when you pray about it, did you leave it at God's feet, or did you pick it back up and take it back out?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You got to leave it there.
Mm-hmm.
And there again, you know, I've struggled with this many times. Many times. I'm more apt to pick it back up and carry it back with me than the times that I have left it there. But the point is, you need to look back on your life. Where did I do it right? Where did I do it wrong? And I'm guilty of picking it back up and struggling with it.
We're past time. I'm sorry about that. But I want to leave you with one other thought to think about. Sometimes God don't answer prayers until you realize it is from Him.
That's right.
Exactly.
Sometimes we got to truly recognize where it came from. Because sometimes we need to go back and pray about that situation again and more. Push until something happens. Pray until something happens.
Yeah, and then like you said, you have to recognize it. And if something is there that might seem kind of like, then you got to ask God, is this what you want from me? You know, show me, is this the answer, or is this me again? You know, is this the answer? Lord, you know, like you said, you have to recognize it. And I just think, I don't know, for me, when I know that my prayers have been answered, it's a feeling. It's a feeling of, it's right. Mm-hmm. It feels right. Mm-hmm. Because if it still feels funny, you gotta constantly keep praying about that one.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right. Blessing is yours, this woman, to my guardians.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you. Awesome blessing.